has truly been mindful of us. I believe that's a great song that we can keep in mind as we study from Matthew chapter 6 on tonight. If you will, let's turn our Bibles there, and I want us to talk for a few minutes on the subject of trusting God. And what does it mean to trust God? If this was a Bible class, I would ask that question. What does it mean to trust God? And when we consider that, we think about seeking first the kingdom of God. As we look at Matthew chapter 6, I want us to make just some brief comments before we get to it. The Bible teaches us in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10 that whatever we find our hand to do it with all of our might. So we know for a fact that as it relates to seeking God and seeking the kingdom and doing the will of God, God says, I want you to do it with all of your might, all of your strength. I want all of you to be able to do what you need to do with all of your faculties, body, soul, and spirit. When we consider some things, the Bible teaches us that we should not be lazy. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 11, that we should not be slothful in business. God has never wanted his people to be lazy. God has always wanted his people to be a people who work. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 10, the Bible there teaches us that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't what? Shouldn't eat. I like to say this, you know, when we consider that particular verse, if a person is so lazy that they don't want to work, that means their stomach ought to reach their back. They ought to go hungry. They ought to die of starvation. Why? Because God has never wanted his people, especially his people, to be a people who are lazy. So what does it mean to trust God? Well, the Bible clearly teaches us to trust God literally means not to worry. Have you ever found yourself worrying over many things? I mean, we worry about our health. We worry about our wealth. We worry about all types of things. Yet the Bible teaches us not to worry. Why? Because maybe it brings forth a type of anxiety. It brings stress to the body. It causes you to make decisions that you normally wouldn't make. What does it mean to trust God? In the first four verses we see of Matthew chapter 6, you go back and you put your notes in, look at this later on. Here Jesus is talking about a better charity, a better giving, if you will. That if you're going to do something for someone, don't go and tell everyone about it. You do it, and you do it out of the kindness of your heart. In verses 5 through verse number 13, a better prayer life. You know, if anything, we can learn how to pray better, how to be more specific in our prayers to our God, how to pour out our hearts to God, like what we talked about on this morning. You know, you can go to the Old Testament and look at men like Nehemiah and David and Solomon. And you see these individuals, how they are pouring out their hearts to God. And here the disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. And that's exactly what he did, a better prayer life. In verses 14 and 15, a better forgiveness. You know, we can always learn how to forgive. I believe many struggle with forgiveness. And when you struggle with forgiveness, how can we then turn around and ask God to forgive us? Friends, God desires for us to release people, to let them go, if you will. A better forgiveness he's talking about in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. But 16 through 18, a better fasting, a better attitude toward fasting. Let me say this. It's not part of the lesson, but something for you to consider. Have you ever fasted? You just think about that. When was the last time you fasted? You think about that, friends. There are great spiritual benefits in fasting. As a matter of fact, there are great physical benefits in fasting. I know for a fact that my life has been blessed because of fasting. Here, Jesus talks about this, that if we're going to do it, let's make sure that we have the right attitude, and let's not go around promoting, hey, I'm fasting this week. As a matter of fact, Jesus said if you do that, you might as well stop fasting, because fasting is between you and God. But then, verses 19 through 21, a better treasure. Friends, where is our treasure? You know, sometimes we get away from these basic lessons, the fundamentals, if you will. You think about how Jesus started this sermon on the mountainside, and here he talks about a better treasure. Where is our treasure? You know, wherever our treasure is, our hearts will be also. That's why we have to be careful about where our treasures are, what we hold in high esteem. But then in verses 22 and 23, we see a better way of seeing. A better way of seeing. Whatever is in our focal point is the direction that we're going to go in. You know, I love golfing. And I remember when I first started golfing, I told my brother as we was golfing, I said, I don't want to hit my ball into the water. He said, what water? I got the point very swiftly. He said, wherever you put your eyes is where the ball and your club is going to go. You know, wherever we put our eyes spiritually is where we're going to direct and navigate our lives. No wonder we ought to be, as the Hebrews writer says in Hebrews 12, verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Like Paul said in Philippians 3 and verse number 20, as we cast our eyes to heaven, looking forward for the Savior from whence coming. Friends, we know for a fact we need to keep our eyes on Jesus. But I want us to notice verses 24 through 34. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about the responsibility as Paul tells the older brothers and the older sisters that they have teaching the younger. You know, that requires two things. Number one, it requires the older Christian to have enough patience and long-suffering and wisdom to be able to impart the knowledge. Number two, it requires the young soul. It requires the one who is immature in the faith. You know how much humility it takes for you to say, I'm immature in the faith. It requires that individual to go to the one who is mature in the faith and say, you know, could you give me some guidance, some leadership? Can you give me some information, some wisdom? You know, there's two things that we see here, and I see this in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 through 34, how the disciples are asking their Lord, teach us. Teach us. What does it mean to trust God? I'll tell you what it means to trust God. Don't worry and seek first the kingdom. But sometimes we worry. Sometimes we cause unnecessary stress in our lives. And as the people of God, the children of God, God does not want that in our lives. Notice verses 24 through 34 as we read, make comments. And I guarantee you, you'll see exactly what we're talking about. In verse number 24, we see something powerful in the word serve. It's used twice here in this particular verse. Here Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and riches. Okay? Your version may say mammon. The word serve there is the Greek word doulos. Literally, to become a servant to, a slave to, a bond servant to. How many people today are a bond servant to their pursuit of riches? You notice I didn't say to their riches. I say to their pursuit of them. Because some folk haven't even obtained them and they're still a slave to them. Y'all smile. Come on now. I got your cousins in Abilene. I know what's going on. Right? You think about, they are slaves to just the pursuit of the riches. And Jesus is saying, you got to make a decision. Make a decision. But hold on before we go too far. But Vaughn, are you saying we shouldn't work for money? I got to have money to eat. No, Jesus, Paul already talked about that in 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 10. So we know that Paul is not contradicting Jesus. He said, where is your servitude toward? Who is your master? And that's the key. Who is our master? Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 12 that all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. The question we have to ask ourselves is, who are we serving? Look at verse 25. In verse 25 and 28, Jesus says that God will take care. Here it is. Now, I know this is what we always hear. Well, the Lord's going to take care of our food, clothing, and what? That ain't what he said. In verse 25 and 28, God is going to take care of our food and clothing. You know, that makes sense. If someone was really listening to us when we say, you know, God takes care of the food, clothing, and shelter, then how do you answer the question of homeless people? Well, they made a decision. Not all the time. Sometimes the decision has been made for them. Sometimes people are living on the streets for whatever reason. But yet, you still find them eating something, and you still have see them with some type of clothing on their back. It's interesting. That Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and 28, notice the text there. What does it mean to trust God? Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Now notice, we see that Jesus tells his disciples, especially those Galilean Jews in whom he's talking to, that life is more than what you think it is, but here's what life is all about. I'm going to take care of you. But notice verse number 28. Here he says, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Now, friends, he brings excellent points from nature. We see in verse number 26 that he's going to tell us about the birds of the air. God is saying, I take care of the birds of the air. I take care of the lilies of the field. Are you not more important than them? You know, I thought about this and I've thought about this for years. God sees us as so important that he gave his son. But what did he give us that he didn't give no one else? A soul. Shouldn't we use that as encouragement and confidence to say, I know he will take care of me. God is saying, okay, I sought after you. Now what I need you to do is seek after me. I provided for you. Now only thing I need you to do is seek after my son's kingdom. Notice what he goes on to say. In verse 26, look at the birds of the air. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Here's the operative question. Are you not more what? Important than them? You know, it is true that we will only treat a person how we see them. It's so true that God saw us as so important that I need to treat them with the utmost respect by sending them the greatest gift ever, Jesus Christ. I don't want them to worry about salvation. I don't want them to worry about anything. I'm going to take care of all of their needs, and what I need them to do is to trust me. Seek after me. Especially, you know, I know how it is to be young. Sometimes being young, we pursue and we run after and we're trying to obtain. And sometimes that's okay, but sometimes we have to slow life down a little bit. And as we slow life down a little bit, we are able to see the proverbial flowers. We're able to smell the coffee, if you will. We're able to experience life and enjoy our children, enjoy our families, and enjoy our spouses, and just enjoy the church. But notice what he goes on to say. In verses 30 through 34. Now, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? And notice what he tells them, oh, ye of little faith. That's the key right there. Sometimes that worry, it just festers up in our hearts. It causes us to make decisions that we normally wouldn't make because we think that we need to do some things that we normally shouldn't do. Notice what he says in verse 31. Therefore, do not worry. He goes right back to that. Don't worry. Don't worry. But, Brother Bonner, I am worried. I'm very concerned. Well, then we start playing on words. Well, you know, I'm not worried. I'm just highly concerned. Well, which one is it? What does it mean to put all of your trust in God? Means don't worry about it. I'm reminded of what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. When we consider, I'm sorry, 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 7. When we consider of casting all of our cares upon God, why? He cares for us. He literally cares for us. He literally loves us. But it's difficult when I'm trying to seek after certain things, but I lose focus on the kingdom. I lose focus on God. But notice what he says. Therefore, do not worry saying what we shall eat, or what we shall drink, or what we shall wear. For all of these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these. In Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. God sees everything. God knows everything even before we ask. God knows. Isn't it reassuring to know that once I go to God with it in prayer, I can leave it there? The older generation has to teach the younger generation, baby, just leave it there. Pray about it and move on. God will take care of it. It always works out for some reason. It always comes together. Don't worry about it. Don't you find yourself sometimes worrying about something so much that your stomach begins to knot up and the next thing you know, it begins to work out and you say, man, I shouldn't have been worrying about it from the get-go. Don't that happen? Y'all smile and say yes. Yeah. It happens. We're concerned about our test. Don't you? Only thing you got to do is study. You don't have to worry about it. Just study. Concerned about our health. You know, don't be too concerned about it. Just do what's right. We're concerned about our spiritual life, what we ought to be. But just follow the commandments of God and let the chips fall where they may. It'll be okay. Here it is right here. These are just basic lessons. Verse 33. But seek first. Oh, I wish we had an hour just on that one word, seek. It's a powerful word in the original language. It literally means to endeavor, to inquire, to desire. Seek first, not second, not third, not when you find time. Seek first, endeavor first, inquire first, desire first. What? The kingdom. What is the kingdom? It's the territory in which Christ rules. It's that territory where an individual who is in the kingdom of darkness can be translated into the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1:13, all because of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the blood of Christ. Seek first the kingdom of God and notice what he says, and his righteousness. Now, I just need us to take our minds back. Not to the day of Pentecost, but to the day in which Jesus said this.
And keep in mind that at one time David was king and Solomon was king, and then you had different kings on the throne. But now we find Peter, as he's preaching this first gospel sermon, even before that, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. What righteousness? Justification from sin. Wow. Seek first the kingdom of God and his justification from sin. Oh, if we could just teach some people today, you know what, you're in sin, don't you want to seek justification? Don't you want to seek the blood of Christ? And really that's what he's talking about. He's alluding to the blood alluded to his own blood. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now hold on. What's going to be added? In essence, he's saying, I'm going to take care of your food and your clothing. That's one of the hardest things to do. It is difficult sometimes to just seek first the kingdom. Look at verse 34 and we'll make some application. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow. Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. I got a test tomorrow. I got bills to pay tomorrow, Jesus. What are you talking about? I mean, I got this hard test I got to take for my health. What are you talking about? Don't worry about that. You tell me, don't worry about tomorrow. He said, don't worry about it. Now, you keep in mind to the Jewish mentality, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 8, and how God fed them manna from above every single day. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. God did this, Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 3, to humble them, to test them. Why did he do this? I need you to rely upon me that your sustenance, your food, your provision comes from me every single day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Pick up what you need for today, and tomorrow will take care of itself. You know what we do? We worry about tomorrow, don't we? Y'all just go like this. We always worry about tomorrow. But hold on. There are so many people that never see tomorrow. We was in the store a couple minutes, hours ago, and had this little box, and it said, free beverage tomorrow. Free beverage tomorrow. Free soda tomorrow. Well, tomorrow will never come, so that means you never get free soda. Y'all get it? Y'all smart. Y'all relax a little bit. You hear that? But that's how we think sometimes. Well, I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. I'll get this tomorrow. I'll worry about tomorrow. He said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Notice what he says. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Friends, what does it mean to trust God? It means, number one, don't worry. Number two, it means seek first the kingdom. And you know, we need to teach that there are certain things that shouldn't come before seeking first the kingdom. We have to work, but your job does not come before God. Our sports don't come before God. Brother George Boyd, he's a good brother in Greenville, Texas, preacher of the gospel. And he said, there has arisen a new god of America is called sports. It's true. You know, the NFL has taken over Sunday. Mm-hmm. There are many people who are crowding the bars and the clubs, and they're watching football all day on Sunday. I know this is a difficult thing, but friends, we can't get caught up with our children or anything else, with the extracurriculars, that we forget about the kingdom. We got to stay focused. The older generation, stay focused. It doesn't matter how old your children get. Continue to encourage them to stay focused on the kingdom. Why? Because one day, Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23 and 24, that when Jesus Christ comes back, you know what he's going to come back and get? He's going to come back and get the kingdom. And you know what he's going to do with the kingdom? He's going to give it back to the Father. We got to stay focused on what Jesus is going to come back for. But what does that mean? I mean, we can't put anything in front of the kingdom. We can't put our friends. We can't put our families. We can't put nothing in front of God. You know, one of the hardest things to do is to keep Jesus in the forefront of your mind. As husband and wives, we got to keep Jesus in the forefront of our minds. Rearing children, one of the most difficult things you'll do is rear children. That's the most difficult things you'll do. But seek first the kingdom, and I guarantee you, God will take care of you. He'll take care of you. These are challenging thoughts. College people, young people, seek first the kingdom. I guarantee you, if you do your studies, do your homework, you can make every service, and I guarantee you God will take care of you. Because sometimes this is what happens. We begin to put things in front of God, and if you do it one time, it'll be easier the second time, and the third time, and the fourth time. How many times did it take for Lot's wife to turn to a pillar of salt, turning back looking at Sodom? One time. How many times did it take Jesus dying on the cross to save men from their sins? One time. You see a positive example, you see a negative example, which teaches us that we got to seek first God, and we need each other in order to do that. So what does it mean to seek first the kingdom? Don't worry. Number two, make sure that you keep God in your focal point. God will take care of you. It's a difficult thing at times, but it's worth it. Let's have a word of prayer. Great God and Father, thank you for this day, the blessings of this life, and the challenge of the teachings of Christ. And Father, sometimes as we are studying your word, and we're reading it, we don't challenge ourselves like we need to at times. But when we hear it spoken and we become challenged, sometimes, Father, it causes us to be uncomfortable because we're hearing your word. And the teachings of your son, Jesus, were very challenging, yet very comforting. Help us to not worry. Help us to not have those anxieties over our health, over our finances, our families, our jobs, what we're going to drive, where we're going to live. Help us to not have those anxieties, but help us to seek first the kingdom. We know that you will take care of us. Help us to have that faith that Abraham had, that Sarah had, that Joshua had, that Rahab had. Help us to have that trust that we can go out and be a beacon of light in San Angelo. Help us to love our families. Help us to love one another. Help us to secure one another as we encourage one another and help one another, forgive one another. Help us to do those things, Father. Father, thank you for these opportunities of study, that we can look into your word and just gain that encouragement that we need and to make the necessary adjustments in our lives that you can get the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to consider seeking first the kingdom. Maybe you're not a member of the Church of Christ. If you're not a member of the Church of Christ, we want to study with you. Why? Because salvation is in Christ. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 10. Salvation is in the church. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 13. And therefore, we want you to be in Christ. And Christ will add you to his church. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins, and God himself will add you to his son's church. But if you're a child of God, you need special prayer. Let us stand and sing. Let us stand and sing the Savior's invitation.